is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks for listening. Thanks for following us online, particularly on Twitter, at America Weekend. We always tweet about who our guests are going to be, both on that account and on my personal account, which is at Paul Harris Show. And we also find that many of our guests then retweet those plugs or tweet themselves about the fact that they're going to be on this show, which brings us right around to our topic for today, which is Twitter itself. On Thursday, the social media giant announced that it is going to go public. They filed their paperwork with the SEC and announced that they are working on an IPO, an initial public offering, where you'll be able to buy stock in Twitter. Is that a good idea? Well, I know market analysts all around the world were pouring through those SEC documents, and I'm sure some of those analysts were in the offices and world headquarters of The Motley Fool, which is where my next guest works. Chris Hill has been with The Fool for many, many years and is now the host of the Motley Fool Money radio show, and I've asked him to come on here and talk a little bit about Twitter going public. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Paul.
We have seen other tech companies go public, Facebook and Zynga and Groupon, with mixed success. What do you think, right off the bat, after looking through some of this, Twitter faces in the marketplace?
I think Twitter is going to raise a lot of money on its IPO. I think that's maybe the first thing everyone should realize about what an IPO is. From the company's standpoint, it is their chance to raise money. So it is a financing event. Facebook's financing event went very, very well. Facebook raised lots of money. I think Twitter is going to do the same, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you should be calling your broker and saying, I got to get in on day one. In fact, you really should wait as a general rule of thumb.
Oh, okay. Well, there's your first tip today. Don't buy on day one, even if you could get in at that initial price. And it's the initial price that sometimes is the problem, right? Didn't Facebook run into that trouble?
Well, Facebook, again, from their standpoint, it went about as perfectly as it could have, because it's a little tricky, because on the one hand, as a company, you want to raise money. You also want to see your stock pop that opening day, because that gets a lot of headlines. We saw that on Friday with Potbelly's, the sandwich shop. Potbelly's went public, and their stock more than doubled the opening day. So on the one hand, you can look into that and say, wow, that's great. But actually, if you're Potbelly's, you're kind of angry with your investment bankers, because you don't want the stock to go up that much, because that means you priced the offering too low, and you didn't raise as much money as you could have.
Uh-huh. And that'll be Twitter's problem, figuring out what that magic number is, right?
That's right. You gotta hit sort of a happy medium. You want to see it go up maybe 10-15%. You don't want it to shoot to the moon. But you also don't want to have what happened to Facebook, which was, at the end of the day, people were criticizing Facebook. There were some problems that they had that had to do with NASDAQ. That was not Facebook's problem, but it ended up being their problem, because it went into this perception that they sort of botched their IPO.
All right, let's talk specifically about Twitter. For those of us who are heavy Twitter users, and I certainly fall into that category, both as somebody who tweets a lot and reads my Twitter stream all day long, am I now going to start seeing more ads in there so that Twitter can make more money for its shareholders?
I think you just hit on the key question for anyone who uses Twitter, and I include myself in that group, because one thing we know from looking through the paperwork that they filed is that, yes, as we imagine, Twitter makes the overwhelming majority of their money from advertising. One interesting thing from the filing, though, was that they recently dropped their advertising pricing. They're trying to get more advertisers to test out. They're trying to get more companies to kick the tires, so to speak, of what it's like to advertise for Twitter, and to get them to do that, to incentivize them, they dropped their advertising price. So I think that they are dealing with what Facebook was dealing with maybe a year and a half ago, which was, how do we balance our desire to make money and, as a public company, reward our shareholders without making the user experience such that people like Paul Harris say, this is really starting to bug me.
All right. In that regard, how much does Twitter know about us? Facebook famously knows an enormous amount about us. Google knows a lot about us. Does Twitter know that much about us that they can use us as targets for their advertising?
They don't know as much as Google and Facebook. I think Google in particular is sort of at the highest end of the spectrum. Facebook, for all of the information that we post, and some people obviously post more personal information than others, they don't really know as much as Google. Google is really the gold standard. Twitter actually knows a lot about our consumer habits and also about sort of, for lack of a better term, our entertainment habits. What are we watching on television at any given moment? What do we think about that? Twitter knows a lot about our sentiment, and that is really a key for them in terms of partnering with the NFL, as they recently did, and different entertainment companies to basically make the case to television networks, for example, to say, look, it's not enough for you to know how many people are watching your new series. You need to know what they think about your new series, and we can do that.
Yeah, and Twitter, you know, certainly partnering with the NFL, people tweet about those games while they're going on and during the week for their fantasy leagues, but TV may be the number one thing people are tweeting about, and in fact, the TV networks, you can't watch anything on TV without a hashtag showing up and people being pointed to Twitter to comment on it on their second screen.
Absolutely, and that's really a key thing for Twitter. And it, I don't know if you had the chance. CNBC, on one hand, CNBC has people who go on and yell a lot, but CNBC also has some amazing reporters who do incredible work, and they put together a documentary about Twitter earlier this year. Any chance you get to watch it, because they rerun those all the time. But really, one of the things that struck me was just how important Twitter has become for not just for entertainment companies getting you to try and hashtag and all that stuff, but law enforcement officials crowdsourcing information. They really looked at the incident in Boston with the Boston Marathon bombing and how quickly law enforcement officials were able to gather information based on just using Twitter. So I think that Twitter has an institutional advantage, which is pretty amazing because it's such a young company. But Twitter is not going anywhere. Twitter is a tool that is incredibly valuable. Now, the key question is it really as valuable in a monetary sense as it is from a usefulness standpoint? Because when I watched that documentary CNBC did, I thought Twitter is not going anywhere. I don't think anyone is going to unseat them. But I don't know exactly what that means for them in terms of how much money they can make.
Yeah, in fact, they're not making money. Well, they're making money, but they're not profitable yet. And should that worry investors?
Absolutely, it should worry investors, because you can be a growth company that doesn't make a lot of money or is not profitable, but you can't do it for very long. And what we went through with the dot-bomb stock market in 2000 taught everyone to sort of tighten up the leash on these growth companies. Twitter really, as you said, they're not profitable. They are going to raise money with their IPO. The IPO could come as early as November, but I don't think anyone should be jumping in on day one. I think Facebook is maybe the greatest example of that. If you bought shares of Facebook on its opening day, 1 year later, you lost money on those shares.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different to be a public company. You have to deal with the SEC. You have to deal with institutional shareholders who are pounding the table. They don't necessarily care what your 5-year, 10-year plan is. They want to know what you're going to do in the next 3 months to make money. Conversely,
well, what about Peter Lynch's advice? The famed investor once said, buy companies you use. And Twitter certainly has a lot of people using it.
It certainly does, but it's about one-fifth the number of people who use Facebook, and they make about one-fifth or one-sixth the amount of revenue that Facebook takes in. I think Peter Lynch, obviously one of the greatest investors of all time, I think his advice is best used as a starting point. I think that's a great place to get ideas if you're looking at your money and thinking, where do I want to invest? It's great to look at the world around you and as you're lacing up your Nike sneakers or you're picking up your iPhone or you're using Twitter, it makes sense to look at Nike, Apple, and Twitter as potential investments. But then I think you have to look at the numbers a little bit and say, well, wait a minute, how does this company make money? And then the next question to ask is, how are they going to make even more money 6 months from now?
And remember, they may not be making money from you. Maybe that's what Lynch was talking about. Maybe you do business with companies or you invest in companies that you buy stuff from, like Nike, like Apple. Nobody actually buys Twitter. You download the app for free. You have it on your phone. You have it on your laptop. You're not actually giving them any money. You're just giving them information and providing content for which you're not being reimbursed. And that's a whole other discussion for another day. But will Twitter succeed on the market? Remains to be seen. Chris Hill, longtime analyst for The Motley Fool and the host of The Motley Fool Money Radio Show. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining me here today.
My pleasure, Paul. Anytime.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend on the Envision Radio Networks.